This is Jay Sekulow. Multiple investigations now on James Comey's activities. Time for him to get a lawyer.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Former FBI Director James Comey is currently under scrutiny by a Senate committee, as well as the Inspector General of the Justice Department, over how he handled the Hillary Clinton email investigation. Comes as the White House is suggesting the Justice Department should look into potentially prosecuting Comey.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Would the president encourage the DOJ to prosecute Comey?
That's not the president's role. That's the job of the Department of Justice, and something they should certainly look at.
Is that something you'd like to see?
I'm not sure about that specifically, but I think if there's ever a moment where we feel someone's broken the law, particularly if they're the head of the FBI, I think that's something that certainly should be looked at.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We just heard that was Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and the issue is James Comey, because James Comey is now the issue on multiple fronts, including congressionally. The Senate Judiciary Committee has written to the Office of Special Counsel. And by the way, that's not to be confused with the Special Counsel Robert Mueller. This is an agency. This is an organization. The OSC is an office within the Department of Justice. They've been doing an investigation. They're the ones that determine that, in fact, the declination letter drafts were being put together by James Comey some 2 to 3 months before he interviewed 16 witnesses, or before the FBI interviewed 16 witnesses. And this is staggering. And before they interviewed, of course, the target of the investigation, which was the then Democratic nominee for president. And that was Hillary Clinton. So ask yourself how, and we're going to get into this, how in the world that can be. Now, the Lindsey Graham said he smells a rat here. We have issued yesterday, or I guess earlier, late last week, three separate Freedom of Information Act requests that have now gone to the FBI, the Office of Special Counsel, and the United States Department of Justice. Let's talk about those for a moment, Jordan, what it is.
These all three relate to Jim Comey's decision to come up with the conclusion before actually interviewing people like Hillary Clinton and 15 other witnesses that were ultimately interviewed by the FBI. Remember, this is important, not just because it's wrong for the FBI director to come to a conclusion about ending an investigation before the investigation was complete. I mean, long before the investigation was complete, months. But second, Jim Comey made this a bigger issue when he relied on the actions of Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch and said that that was why he took the unprecedented action to close the investigation. So, if 3 months before that tarmac meeting happened, he had already decided that when he was under oath and claimed that that was the reason why he lied under oath.
He said the main reason
to Congress. I mean, he used this as he utilized it. So I think there's two problems. One, the FBI should never be coming to conclusions before they've even started interviews of those witnesses
they granted immunity to.
Yeah.
They granted immunity to these witnesses and did not interview them.
Yeah, and then second,
when he made his decision,
when you go before the congressional committee and you're asked about these unprecedented actions you took, the announcement to close the investigation and reopening, and you blame it all on a meeting that happened 3 months after you'd already come to that conclusion, you have now lied under oath.
Well, let me tell you, let me play the exact testimony, then we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Here's exactly what he said. Here's the question from Senator Richard Burr. Here is James Comey's answer.
Was your decision influenced by the Attorney General's tarmac meeting with the former President Bill Clinton?
Yes, in a ultimately conclusive way. That was the thing that capped it for me, that I had to do something separately to protect the credibility of the investigation, which meant both the FBI and the Justice Department.
We're going to break this down after the break, but this idea that he was protecting the integrity of the Department of Justice and the FBI, which, by the way, he took on himself to do that, as well as the integrity of the investigation, and now we know from evidence that's been submitted to Congress that, in fact, he'd already written a draft declination letter leaning forward, as he said, looking forward. What does that tell you? Tells me that there needs to be an investigation of James Comey, without question. We're taking your calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll take your calls and comments when we come back from the break.
That's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, or get your comments in on social media, Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, at Jay Sekulow. You can find us broadcasting live there, video and audio, and get your comments in as well. Right back with more of Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Sarah Huckabee Sanders at the press conference yesterday at the White House said these words. Let's play it. Go ahead and play this.
Would the president encourage the DOJ to prosecute Comey?
That's not the president's role. That's the job of the Department of Justice, and something they should certainly look at.
Is that something you'd like to see?
I'm not sure about that specifically, but I think if there's ever a moment where we feel someone's broken the law, particularly if they're the head of the FBI, I think that's something that certainly should be looked at.
There you have it. I think, she's absolutely correct, and I think they should be looking at it. I've called for it. We're calling for it. Let me also just mention before we'll get right back into this at 800-684-3110, but let me tell you something that also just came out late yesterday. We talked about it at the broadcast when there was a temporary stay issued by Justice Kennedy staying the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals attempt to rewrite President Trump's executive order on immigration and asylum. That was referred to the entire Supreme Court yesterday. An order was issued late yesterday. This is very good for the Trump administration and for the position that we've advocated. The application for stay of mandate presented to Justice Kennedy and referred by him to the court is granted, and the issuance of the mandate of the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit in case number 17-16426 is stayed with respect to refugees covered by a formal assurance pending further order of this court. There's not a dissent in this order. Not one. Not one justice of the Supreme Court of the United States dissented in that. It's exactly what I told you I thought would happen. I predicted that we would win this 9-0. Again, we discussed the policies on it yesterday. We're not going to do that right now, but I did want to give you an update on that. All right, we're taking your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. I'm holding in my hand three Freedom of Information Act requests that we've now sent to the FBI, the Office of Special Counsel, and to the Department of Justice on James Comey and the matters related to his issuance or starting to draft a declination letter that he put forward 3 months or 2 months before he interviewed key witnesses, including Hillary Clinton, and witnesses that were granted immunity. Than Bennett is our Director of Governmental Affairs. Now, I know that Senator Graham and others want Comey to come back. I also know they want additional information. What's the sense right now?
Well, I think in many ways they're getting frustrated, Jay. They do want James Comey to come back and explain why he told the committee that he made a decision about Hillary Clinton after interviewing her, and yet the interviews that they've done with his staff suggest the opposite. They're also frustrated, Jay, because two of his staff that they want to interview, including his chief of staff, have not been provided to them. But look, I would just say this. We've told our listeners all along that we have to assist investigations like this. Two of the seven things that we asked for in our Freedom of Information Ask request, Jay, are exactly on these points. We want the information about why they granted immunity without interviewing. And, Jay, we also want all records related to the drafts of that declination letter that he made,
right,
because we know that it started happening before. That is a piece that fits in with the Senate Judiciary Committee investigation.
You know,
ongoing.
I think the question, Jordan, that everybody asks, I know you've been working with our team on these this latest round of Freedom of Information Act requests. The fact of the matter is, when we filed these, we've been getting some pretty stunning results in the last couple of months.
Yeah, that's right. And so we've gotten more and more information about the processes ongoing, especially, remember that tarmac meeting, which Jim Comey made, focused on, is so important. We got information about that, the talking points, the way the Department of Justice was responding, the way that FBI was being notified about that. And we were initially got the letter from the FBI saying we don't have anything. And then they've gone back and said, well, maybe we do, because of what the Department of Justice produced after we had to file a FOIA and then go to court on that issue. And this all gets back to the idea that at the top level of these departments, I think that under the Obama administration, when you had Jim Comey at the FBI, his deputy, Andrew McCabe, who was also a lackey for Clinton's, I mean, his wife was taking hundreds of thousands of dollars from Terry McAuliffe to run a failed state Senate campaign. Terry McAuliffe, close ally. No one's going to deny that. He's the governor of Virginia, but he is a very close ally to Clinton's. He was the DNC chair during Bill Clinton's presidency. I mean, so this is, again, the political connections were through the roof. But we're not, I do like to make the distinction here. When we talk about the problems at both of these agencies at the time, we were talking about the swamp, the members of the swamp, the DC crowd. It's not the field agents at the FBI or the people doing the tough work at the Department of Justice. It was the DC leadership who had become, it wasn't even that they were so partisan. I think they were just making it all about themselves. I mean, there was some partisanship at play. They may not have liked President Trump because he was going to shake things up. These were people who usually could play in both Republican and Democrat administrations. They'd survive. These were the swamp. They were kind of like the swamp rats, if you will, because they were not totally political.
Right.
But they knew with President Trump that things were not going to be the same anymore, and that surviving would not be easy. So I think that they did turn oppositional. And what you see from both when you see in all the information we've gathered so far, what the Senate has gathered so far, what a tune change from the United States Senate. I mean, look at the Judiciary Committee. This is not the way they sounded when they were first interviewing Jim Comey. And now they have taken our position, which we've held the entire time, that this guy was untrustworthy, wrong, a fraud, a liar, and
a leaker,
someone who should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
Look, I think what he did to the FBI is horrendous. And I've said that, and I've given interviews on that, and I talked about it last night on Sean Hannity's broadcast, and may be talking about it tonight on Sean Hannity's broadcast. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Heat's on, though. I mean, you got now two Senate committees investigating, the Office of Special Counsel investigating, the Inspector General investigating James Comey. There is a lot going on here. Again, we're going to take I want your reaction to this and how you think this plays out, and what do you think the continual effort should be. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Logan, let's go to some phone calls or comments.
Yeah, let's go to Alex in California, online too. You're on the air.
Hi, Alex.
Yes, how you doing? Hey, gentlemen, Great. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thanks.
Quick question is this. How effective is our continued calls or emails or faxes to the DOJ tell them to ramp up this investigation and get it accomplished?
Well, look, here's how – let me tell you, it's a great question. Let me tell you how we're handling it, and then Than could tell you what he's doing in Washington directly with members of the staff. What we're doing is the legal framework. So when I'm holding these letters that we've sent out, this is the beginning of the case. So what you do is you send a Freedom of Information Act request on this whole issue of the drafting of the declination letter, the letter declining prosecution, the drafts of it, which were done – literally months before interview investigations were going on, including interview investigations of witnesses that were given immunity. I mean, none of it makes sense, okay? So you send these letters out to start the process when we're going to demand documents. They may or may not respond with documents. If they don't, we then go to federal court and get an order. We did on this last one. We know, for instance, the tarmac meeting reached the level of getting to the Department of Justice, to the FBI, that they were involved in. We also know it went over to the White House. So this denial that they keep kind of putting forward is fundamentally false. But then that answers the question what we're doing on a legal end. Let's talk about what we're doing from a government affairs standpoint.
Well, I think the most effective thing that the caller can do is join us in those efforts, because you have to engage your elected officials to actually point out when there are inconsistencies in the effort. And I know it can be a little bit hard to follow, but let me just give one example. We know that Director Comey testified that he made the decision about Hillary Clinton after he interviewed her. And yet, the information that we are turning up through our FOIAs and other efforts, Jay, are showing the exact opposite. One thing that Congress really hates is being lied to, especially when they're lied to by another branch of the government. And that happened in this case, Jay. So what our members can do is continue following these efforts. And then when we are able to uncover them, they need to communicate to the Senate Judiciary Committee that they expect them to take it seriously and follow up on that investigation. That's an information that we gathered, Jay, but then they have to use in their formal investigation.
I mean, when you look at this thing politically, and the idea that there's an ongoing, you know, supposedly an ongoing investigation about obstruction of, I mean, it's been in the news of, is this obstruction of justice when the president fired James Comey? Just look at the facts of this case. Putting the Constitution aside, which of course gives him the president the authority to fire James Comey for whatever reason he feels appropriate, that's the president's authority under the Constitution. But let's take a look at it as it relates just to fact as they've developed. Who wouldn't fire James Comey?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing.
I mean, really?
Maybe don't listen to Hillary Clinton's speeches. But it's nonstop. And so at what time, there's one issue that I think Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton agree on, and they've agreed on throughout, is that whoever became president was going to get rid of Jim Comey. He was not going to survive, because they both felt that he was exactly what you said.
That's why he had the fake dossier.
Completely disrupted the FBI. And so who knows what he had on? Well, we know he had a full criminal investigation of Hillary Clinton, and then he exonerated her. And then as if she was exonerated, brought her back and like just let her know, hey, I can make life miserable for you in case you do win. And then, as you said, he brought the dossier out on Trump. So he had something on both of them. He tried to have something on both of them. So whoever won potentially could be undermined by the FBI. That's the worst of the FBI. That's why these agencies, we sometimes question, should they be in existence? Because we talk about the deep state. This is the worst of the worst of our bureaucracy.
I'm going to play when we come back from the break. We don't have time to do it right now. The quote from Hillary Clinton when she was interviewed about her book. By Matt Lauer, and it's very artful the way she crafts her what should have happened to James Comey. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to take more calls when we come back, Logan, and more comments as well.
That's right. You give us a call. A couple lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. Vicky just said on Facebook, not sure I can trust the FBI. Again, those are the comments that are coming in on our social
media.
There
are a lot of good – look, the FBI does important work. This is James Comey just brought a level of – I mean, it would – institutional questioning. I mean, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, to get your comments in online.
It was Ari Fleischer.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You know, I like to lay out for you the evidence in these cases. And as it relates to James Comey, which is now way back in the news, breaking yesterday, obviously, with all these Senate and House investigations going on regarding him, and will he come back and testify? Let me read what Harry Reid said. So this is in a legal memorandum we put together. So this was from Harry Reid, and it was discussions about a Hatch Act violation. And this was when Harry Reid opened, when James Comey reopened the investigation, right? So he reopens the investigation on Hillary Clinton in October, which again was, in my view, interference with the campaign. I thought it was inappropriate. I said it then. Here's what Harry Reid said. I'm writing to inform you that my office has determined that these actions may violate the Hatch Act, which bars the FBI officials from using their official authority to influence an election. Through your partisan actions, you may have broken the law. Now, that's Harry Reid about James Comey. Less than a year ago, Hillary Clinton was asked about James Comey on Matt Lauer's broadcast on NBC. Today, here's what he said. Here's the question. Here's what she said.
He was fired for the wrong reason.
But should have been fired?
He should not have been fired for Russia. He should have been disciplined. Whether or not fired, that's not for me to say. But he should have been disciplined for the way that he behaved on the email investigation. And in fact, the Deputy Attorney General, backed by the Attorney General of this administration, laid out in excruciating detail all of the protocols and rules that he broke.
So there you go. So that's Hillary Clinton talking about the... Let me read it exactly to you. Laid out in excruciating details all of the protocols and rules that he broke. So that's Hillary Clinton. I just read to you before that Harry Reid. So this is not a partisan issue. This is a fact. And James Comey has self-induced this and created it.
I mean, you have to wonder here, Hillary Clinton, she may not want to be doing this, but I think a byproduct of this, she's reminding everyone that this idea that firing Jim Comey was somehow shocking was not the case. So I think that this is actually helpful to have her out there telling Matt Lauer, referring Matt Lauer to the letter from Rod Rosenstein. And then her, she's not in the position to fire him. Of course, she didn't become president, but he should be punished. I mean, what else can you do to the FBI director? When you reach that level, the only punishment is to get rid of them because there is no oversight for them.
Correct.
So, I mean, she didn't want to say it because then she would be totally exonerating someone she disagrees with politically in Donald Trump.
But a very telling statement from former Secretary Clinton. And look, I condemned, you remember this, folks, I condemned when Comey was intervening multiple times.
Yeah, twice. Twice.
I said, when he exonerated, I said, why is he even getting into that? Then when he reopened, I said, what is he doing? Then he exonerated her again. I mean, talking about interference with process and violating rules and procedures. But Hillary Clinton said it. We also have, it's not just Hillary Clinton. You got Harry Reid. So this is the nature of what it is. All right, we're taking your calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110. Logan, what do you want to take, comment or call?
Yeah, let's go to Wes. Actually, there's a Wes as a comment, and he asked on Facebook, am I wrong, or does it seem the leaks have virtually stopped?
There you go.
Okay, so there you go.
How do you like that answer?
Let's go to Dan, who's calling.
Seen a lot of leaks these days? And the reason I say that is because I think the Department of Justice and others have put out very clearly that if you're leaking information, you are going to face legal consequences. That's something I was calling for way back, but even before my representation of the president and certainly during it. But this is, you're not hearing a lot about leaks, right? Nobody's leaking intelligence conversations, discussions from the president of the United States with foreign leaders right now. Not seeing a lot of that. So there's a lot of theories, but I'll just leave it at that.
All right, let's take a call. Let's go to Dan, who's calling in D.C. on line 6.
Hey, Dan, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I just want to say I think Comey's a good start as far as prosecutions go, but hopefully he's just a stepping stone into other prosecutions and investigations from other people like Lynch, Clinton, there's Holder, there's the Wieners for the things that
they've done. Well, here's the thing on the federal side. I want to talk about that for a moment. So I don't know what they're going to do on – I don't know what will happen with regard to this actual investigation? In other words, with James Comey, where does it actually go? I don't think anybody yet knows. I think there should be a criminal investigation without any question in my mind for leaking conversation he had with the President of the United States, for the way he violated rules and regulations. That may be civil remedies there. But I think you cannot ignore the fact that he fundamentally changed the way people viewed the FBI. And Jordan, you said that earlier, and I think that's problematic for right now.
Yeah, I mean, so I think what he did was he's undermined, as Logan's read the comments, all of this idea that it's kind of like the IRS. I mean, so the FBI, I think even to a greater example, it's not like you necessarily want the FBI breathing down your neck or the IRS breathing down your neck.
You want them doing their job.
But you do believe that if they are doing it to someone you know or a business or whatever, that they are doing it out of good faith. And so what we have seen is a bureaucracy that's become weaponized. Yep. Politically. And when that is the case, we are living in a very dangerous time. Now, thankfully, as weaponized as they became, we still have an executive branch, which is stronger than the bureaucracy. A little bit,
yeah.
But they are stronger.
Yeah.
And it takes very bold action, though, to stand up to the bureaucracy. You have to do what President Trump did. You have to fire directors. And knowing, as the president said, and he told his aides, when I do this, they're going to come after me.
And
but,
they did.
But you realize that's the only option you have to really cut the head off the snake.
Right.
You have to cut the head off. If you don't, you basically are giving the signal to everyone in the bureaucracy that you are actually stronger than our executive branch. And that is when you become, again, I think for far too long, the Washington crowd allowed that bureaucracy, I'm talking about Republicans too, by the way, to fester. That's why it's the same 10 names have been running these agencies.
I know.
Basically, Mueller and Comey have been running the FBI and Department of Justice for three presidents.
Right.
I mean, that
think
is,
about that for a moment.
You think about that. That's a lot of power for a couple of guys to have.
All right, we're taking more calls, more comments at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Logan, time for a comment?
Yeah, Jock said, how can Comey admit under oath that he leaked information to his friends?
Well, he did. I mean, we've got it. We can play it for you. I mean, he said it. He was asked the question of how it got out, why it got out. He said he did it. And he said he did it for the purposes of obtaining a special counsel. I say that puts the whole matter into this whole special counsel issue. If you got to look at it through the lens of what James Comey was trying to do. And now we know James Comey was basically utilizing this, it looks like, this Steele dossier, which is fake. We know that he now looks like he was also engaging in this whole issue of this investigation of Hillary Clinton, where he makes up his mind before. Now we have reports unrelated to this, by the way. We'll talk about it coming back. That the Benghazi tragedy, the contractors were silenced by the State Department. That goes to Jordan's point on the deep state here. This is real stuff. And this is the stuff that you got to deal with and you try to uncover and you try to eliminate, which is exactly what we're trying to do through this FOIA litigation, through these FOIA cases that we're bringing. We're going to continue to do that. Hey, Fan, let me quickly here, just before we go to the break, what do you expect to happen on these Senate investigations now with this whole situation with not just with Hillary Clinton, but James Comey? What do you expect to happen?
I think it's very telling, Jay, to look at what both Republicans and Democrats are most focused on now. Republicans are most focused on a concern that our government was interfering in the election, and Democrats, Jay, are desperate to keep this dossier from coming to light. I think both of those reactions are very telling. I think subpoenas are forthcoming from the Senate Judiciary Committee. I really do.
That's a big deal. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll take more calls when we come back and let you know how you can get the next 30 minutes of the broadcast.
That's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We've got a couple lines open. That's right. You can also get your comments in on social media, facebook.com/JSeculo, Periscope, search for Jay Sekulo. Get this show on the ACLJ app, available in the App Store for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, and also in the Roku channel store. You can also subscribe to the Jay Sekulo podcast. We got 10 seconds till we go to break. The show continues on for most of America, and you need to be part of it. Join us online.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Freedom. And by the way, welcome back to the broadcast. I mean, we're talking about James Comey. Song was quite appropriate. But I will also say this, that the Jay Sekulow Band, we had a little rehearsal here in our media center last night, is going to be playing a live concert in Judson University in Elgin, Illinois, outside of Chicago, 40 minutes outside of Chicago. Next Tuesday night, it is open to the public. It is free. Go to judson.edu, and you can get information about that. And the entire band, all, how many of us are there? Two, four, six, eight of us, I guess. Everybody's going to be there. And we've got a great set list for you, covers and originals. And we're playing September 20th at 7 o'clock at night, and look forward to seeing you at Judson University for a live concert performance of the band. Now, we're talking about James Comey. Multiple investigations on multiple levels. Senate, House, Inspector General, Office of Special Counsel. Not the same as Bob Mueller. Understand that. The White House yesterday, Sarah Huckabee Sanders saying that he should be investigated. Harry Reid, I read you that earlier, saying what he did during the election, he wrote a letter saying you violated the Hatch Act, should be investigated. Hillary Clinton saying basically he should be certainly disciplined, should have been disciplined and maybe fired. She doesn't say fired. She says disciplined, or what is not for her position to say, but she was very strong on where she thought it should go. All of this taking place while the Senate is getting rebuffed, Than Bennett, Director of Governmental Affairs, from the Department of Justice on some witness interviews about the crafting of the declining of prosecution. 2 or 3 months before, they interviewed the key witnesses, including witnesses they granted immunity to. We're going to talk to Andy Economo about that. The Senate not too happy.
Well, the director Comey, said that he made the decision after the interviews were made, and then staff from the FBI told the Senate Judiciary Committee behind closed doors that he started drafting it beforehand. So, Jay, they've asked for two things. They want Director Comey to set the record straight. They've also asked for his chief of staff and another senior advisor to come back and provide testimony. They won't provide those witnesses, Jay, so I think subpoenas are in the offering for them. But I'll tell you this, they are none too happy with the FBI and specifically Director Comey. And I would just throw into that also the House Intel Committee. They don't have any more respect for the FBI or any trust for what was coming out of the former director as well. So I would just say this, I think it's expanding and it's focusing on U.S. involvement in the past election. That's not too comforting for any of us.
Now, let's go ahead and take a phone call. Logan, 1-800-684-3110.
Yep, let's go to Nancy, who's calling on line two in California. You're on the air.
Hey, Nancy, go ahead.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to say the DOJ won't even go after Hillary, who there was far more evidence against. And, you know, some say that she suffered enough by losing the election. But as far as I know, sadness and bad reputation doesn't constitute a punishment under the law. So, you know, what's going to make them go after Comey, too?
Well, I mean, the thing with James Comey is, I'm not explaining away the Hillary Clinton matter, but the thing with James Comey is he created multiple problems for himself here, and I've laid them out. And I think, Jordan, it's not just a political situation. He's got legal jeopardy. He leaked information, a conversation he had with my client, the President of the United States.
Yeah, it's like,
think about that for a moment. While he took notes of the conversation and then leaked them to the press in order to get a special counsel, which lo and behold gets appointed. Yeah, tell me if that's okay.
This guy, he went so far. You have to remember each act that he's done. Whether it's what he did during leading up to the election with the closing and opening of the investigation, which let me tell you, Republican or Democrat, if you're Hillary Clinton, you should be upset. We said it at the time. When you're Republicans, you should be upset when he closed it the way he closed it. Then he reopened it. Republicans said, wow, this is great. It was horrible, though, for the long-term political process of our country. And then, of course, the dossier. And you talk the leaking of his conversations with the President of the United States after the President is President of the United States.
Yep.
Oval Office meetings. And this is a guy who set the precedent. Ted, here's the dossier. You know, this is out there about you, by the way. And we don't know if it's true, but it's out there. He set the stage. He deserves whatever he gets. But he needs to get something. Firing is good. Now the second step is the Department of Justice doing its job.
And that needs to happen. All right, we come back from the break. We'll take calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll be joined by Andy Economo, former U.S. attorney, and talk about the procedures that were not followed in these cases. Right,
Logan? Right back. Yeah, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. One person joined us on Facebook. Your song, Liar, perfect fit for today's show.
It was a perfect fit, and we're going to play that at Judson University in Elgin,
Illinois.
September 20th. So be there.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Everyone, you're not on Facebook and Periscope, and you're listening on radio. That we just had a happy birthday bouquet of balloons up in the studio.
Like the Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
font.
Looked like yes, because it's Uncle Andy's. So everybody calls him Uncle Andy's birthday.
The general public.
We don't have to let everybody in on that, but Andy's birthday.
He's like Walt Disney.
Andy,
it's Uncle Walt.
Everybody on Facebook and Periscope, wish Andy a happy birthday. He's he turned 40 today.
Yes,
and 40 years ago today, Andy was born. But anyways. So we wish Andy a happy birthday.
Only
and again,
years older than me.
Huh?
He's only 8 years older than
yes,
me.
Yes, he is. He just looks.
I'm not sure who's
he's just not
better.
Aged great for 40. But we are taking. So wish him a happy birthday here on Facebook and Periscope, and we'll there you go, Andy. People already are.
How nice.
That's
Thank
very
you.
Nice.
Lots
All right,
people.
We're going to go right to the. Well, let me ask Andy a question first. We talked about this yesterday in a meeting. You were a prosecutor for the United States Department of Justice.
Yes.
And did you ever have a case where you wrote your declination letter up before you before you interviewed witnesses that you granted immunity to?
No.
Because you thought it was so important to have those witnesses, you wrote your declination letter up before you did it.
I mean, it's something that I cannot conceive of happening, really, Jay. I mean, whenever I decline prosecution of a criminal case, I would have interviewed every relevant witness, and I certainly would have interviewed witnesses to whom I had given immunity. Because
tell everybody what immunity means.
Immunity
don't
means.
Right.
Let me tell you what this. It's very simple. Immunity means that you are not going to be prosecuted for the crimes that you have committed, because I need you to testify with respect to the people that are more culpable than you. So I've got to let somebody loose in order to get somebody bigger who is more culpable.
So they grant immunity to Cheryl Mills, who's her assistant deputy or chief of staff, and her lawyer.
Yes.
We also, by the way, they let her be a witness in the case, grant immunity, and be Hillary Clinton's lawyer during all this.
That's
but
right.
That's another question altogether.
And then Comey sits down in the spring, April or May, writes a memorandum declining criminal prosecution and has not interviewed more than a dozen witnesses, including those to whom he has given immunity. That is something that is so extraordinary, so out of line with how you prosecute a case, I can't tell you.
Yeah, so this is, I mean, folks, this is, when we're saying this is out of the ordinary, violating rules and procedures, I mean, there is nothing that explains this rationally to a prosecutor what went on here. So you talk about internally what went on. That was a problem. All right, we're taking calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110. A lot of birthday wishes for Andy. That's
a lot of people calling you Uncle Andy. So,
well, thank you for that moniker.
All right, that's good. All right, Mary is calling on line one in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hey, Mary, go ahead.
Hey, you're still good looking.
There you go, Andy.
Oh, how nice.
For 40. Happy birthday, Andy.
Thank you very much.
From Wisconsin.
There you go.
Anyway, my question, my dear men, is will the pardon that Comey gave Clinton, will that be rescinded pending the investigation?
So he didn't pardon her. So there wasn't a, because he doesn't have the FBI director doesn't have the authority to pardon. What he did, which was also not allowed, really. I mean, he overrode the attorney general's role. She was supposedly, you know, going to do whatever the FBI said. But rather than going to the deputy attorney general of the United States, which is recommendations, here's the case, you make the decision whether to prosecute or not, our view is such and such, he became, you know, judge, jury, and an attorney general, in effect. So he, quote, closed the case saying no reasonable prosecutor would have made that case, which a lot of reasonable prosecutors have said that's absolute nonsense. But you got to understand, now that we know what's happened here, Mary, this was a put up from the beginning. James Comey never intended to have a real investigation. Than I've said this 100 times. It was a faux investigation from the outset.
Well, the proof is that he wrote the letter before doing the interviews. Yes. And look, the people that are running interference for him, Jay, their best excuse is, well, he was just preparing for all potential outcomes. And at the same time, he was preparing to put it in front of a grand jury. And we've been through this with Andy before.
Have you seen any outcome, by the way, on that? Have you seen his prosecution letter? When he was doing all conceivable outcomes, where's his recommendation on prosecution? I don't think we've seen that. Go ahead, Ben.
Well, there are 2 points. That's the first one, that there's no evidence that he was actually doing that. But even if he were, Jay, that would be equally inappropriate because you cannot prepare for a grand jury without interviewing the people that you granted immunity to. Andy's been through this time and time again. But if he comes forward and makes that his excuse, he's actually doubled his problem, not eliminated it.
Yeah, I'm looking at our request to see, Jordan, you could respond to this, whether we're asking for, maybe we need to, if we haven't, we probably should, if there was emails on drafts of his recommendation for prosecution or speeches on that.
Yeah, I mean, the idea, again, this is going to be the war between us and FBI here on getting that information, but we have asked for that information. We've asked, was there the flip side available? Now, will they make that available? You would think if you're trying to exonerate yourself here, you would rush to get this out. I mean, Jim Comey loved leaking things. So why not make it clear to everybody, if this is indeed true, you would expect from the Comey types that he would have kept copies of this and been able to respond. I have an inclination that it doesn't exist, and that's why we haven't seen it.
Well, here's what we asked for. We asked for all records concerning or relating in any manner to the decision of the FBI as announced by then FBI director July 5th declining to prosecute Hillary Rodham Clinton. I want to make sure that we have, and we say we want all drafts of then Director Comey's statement closing the Clinton investigation from his original draft in early 2016 to the final version. I want to know, I think we should add to it, any records, Andy, and maybe it's already covered in the catch-all phrase, any records if he was recommending prosecution, because that would have been an easy thing for them to come out and say, and they've not said it.
Well, I think our request is broad enough to include that.
Yeah.
Because I mean, we've looked at it and we've analyzed it very carefully. And we wanted to make it as broad as possible so that we could get everything that could be that all drafts and all aspects of what he was doing.
All right, let's go ahead and take some more phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. We'll take comments as well. What do we have next?
Let's go to Dominic in California, line 3.
Hi, Dominic. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Jay. Hey, guys. Hey. Guys, I think we're making a big mistake. And the reason why I'm saying this is that the declination letter, and you're not going to find lots of drafts around different versions of and information to support a declination letter. The declination letter was purely circulated to communicate to all FBI agents that doesn't matter what they dig up, doesn't matter what information they find, their job is to bury it, to sidestep it, because he had no information to write a declination letter. And the more we go down this path of saying we want to see versions of this declination letter and you don't find anything, that then supports Jim Comey. Declination letter communication was a communication that we are not pressing charges. Whatever you find, sidestep, bury.
Yeah, but we want but exactly, Dominic, that's exactly why I want the information. If it was messaging, which it may well have been, messaging to the agents? Because, I mean, we have that statement in the testimony where he said he was leaning forward. We know where this is leaning forward towards, which was no prosecution. This was in April or May. It was early on. He says that in an email exchange. And this was some of the FBI sources that were interviewed said this. So it would be very relevant to us if that was a messaging matter, Jordan, going on within the FBI, which it may, I mean, Dominic, you may be right. It may have been.
Yeah, I mean, so this idea, again, all important. So the idea whether it was being done as for legal purposes, investigation purposes, or public relations purposes, all relevant to our inquiries. In fact, one of our first inquiries into this was figuring out on the day of the tarmac meeting, what was the response like at the Department of Justice, and what did they redact from that? We're in court over this. They redacted all of their talking points. Again, we believe that that's very insightful, just the fact that they redacted that, because likely they used some of those talking points and others, because I know this from preparing them in politics. You prepare lots of talking points, and you only use as many as you have to. So you go through the lightest talking points you need, and then if you need to go further and further, you do, but if not, you don't. They would shed a lot of light on how they were spinning it. But I think it actually, when you first look at that, you think, okay, it's all about PR. It's all about public relations. But then when you realize that what the Senate announced in the Judiciary Committee, that Comey was in fact planning this 3 months before, and that the idea that this Clinton-Lynch yep. meeting was on the tarmac was really just very helpful to him. And what is to lead us not to believe that Loretta Lynch was in on this the whole time?
I'm assuming she is.
Setting up the perfect way for Jim Comey to end this, and there was pressure to reopen it. I mean, he did no one any favors, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And that's fine as FBI director, but he also ruined the FBI in the process.
Yeah, and also, but that was also contrary. We'll talk about this more in the next segment. That's contrary completely to internal operating procedures within the Department of Justice.
You never, never operate in that fashion. It's backwards.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not the way you do things. You gather your facts and then you make your prosecutorial decision one way or the other.
Period.
You don't do what he did. But of course, Comey was good at usurping procedures and policies. He decided there was no criminal prosecution against Hillary Clinton when the Attorney General, or in her absence, the Deputy AG, should have made that decision.
Senator Rob Johnson, Chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee, is demanding OSC, Office of Special Counsel, to turn over the complete and unredacted transcripts of the interviews involving Rubicki and Tricia Anderson and Comey's decision to exonerate Clinton. We'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. A lot of news breaking on this. Take your calls at 800-684-3110. Last segment of the broadcast coming on up, Logan, so people can get involved
That's
in the conversation
right.
now.
This is the time to have your voice heard. A few lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. You can always get your comments in, obviously, online at Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, at Jay Sekulow. And again, 1-800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, The ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls, 800-684-3110. I want to tell you how serious this is with the whole exoneration letter being done before now. We've got all these Senate committees looking at it, which we think is right. The White House said that the Department of Justice should look at it. I think the Department of Justice should look at it. Harry Reid said it was inappropriate. Hillary Clinton has said it was inappropriate what James Comey did. I mean, no one's supporting what James Comey did, period. However, let me read for you from the transcript on the testimony that was before the Office of Special Counsel as it relates to, and this I think is very, very important here, and I think this was Rubicki's testimony, we think. Again, it was some of it's redacted. But this was the Office of Special Counsel released to the United States Senate. And this regards the writing of the declination letter before the interviews of 16 key witnesses months before, and including witnesses that were granted immunity, and Andy just laid out what that meant. And well, of course, the target of the investigation was Senator Clinton, Secretary Clinton. Here's what it said. So the question comes up, and there here's the request, the response. Sometime in the spring, again, I don't remember exactly when, but early spring, I would say, the director, that is James Comey, emailed a couple of folks, and I can't remember exactly. I know I was on there, probably the deputy director, not the full, what I call the briefing group, but a subset of that, to say, you know, again, knowing sort of where, knowing the direction the investigation is headed, right? What would be the most forward-leaning thing we could do, right? Information that we could put out about it. And, you know, and he says this multiple times, so that he sent a draft around of, you know what it might look like. Now, Andy, that is completely outrageous, considering they had not in talked to witnesses that had been granted immunity.
That's right.
16 witnesses were not interviewed yet.
That's right. I mean, the idea of sending out
really
a draft
is outrageous.
Of what it's going to look like to decline criminal prosecution, and it doesn't matter if it's Hillary Clinton or anybody, any particular or potential target or subject of investigation, you're going to decide not to prosecute without having gathered all the facts. I mean, the Senate, in the letter that they sent, said really that was an outrageous thing to do, and the idea that we were doing it long before the FBI agents finished their work. That's what it says here. He circulated this draft statement to select members of senior FBI leadership, and they conclude, the Senate committee, Senator Grassley and Senator Graham in their letter, the outcome of an investigation should not be prejudged while FBI agents are still hard at work trying to gather the facts.
All right, Dan, really quickly, then we're going to go right to calls. What do you expect to happen?
Well, they're trying to connect the exact dots that Andy just laid out. They want to confirm that that was indeed James Comey's chief of staff, because remember, they got redacted transcripts, so they want the unredacted transcripts, and they want him to come testify to see if that indeed was him. Jay, it was him. They just need confirmation of it now.
All right, we're going to go, Logan. Let's go right to the phones. Yep. We got a lot of calls. We'll get to as many as we
can. Let's go to Elena, who's calling in Nashville, Tennessee, on line 5. You're on the air.
Hi, Elena. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
In light of everything that's come out about Comey, it really proves what I thought in the beginning, was that he was part of the swamp, and the whole testimony, the statement that he made exonerating her, he was just playing both sides of the fence.
Oh, he was playing every side, yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
That's what the swamp is really about. It's not really about partisan politics. It's about Washington status quo, keeping your positions of power inside the bureaucracy. That's the worst part of the swamp. It's not the politicians who get elected by people. You may not always like the politicians, but they're much more public. It's these shadowy bureaucracy figures who serve regardless of partisan politics. So think about the kind of people that is. They will shift their entire views. So Jim Comey went from serving under, you know, President George W. Bush to a President Obama. People who saw terrorism very differently. They saw the role of the Department of Justice and FBI very differently, and yet they continue serving. I believe that actually shows the idea here is that what he didn't like the most was that there was a new sheriff coming to town, And this new sheriff had basically targeted his entire world, the swamp, the people who survive administration to administration, holding on to power and holding that power above the heads of our duly elected officials, the people who have the constitutional authority to actually govern our country and to make decisions.
All right, let's go ahead and take some more calls if we can.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to David, who's calling in Cincinnati, Ohio. You're on the air.
Hey, David, go ahead.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call. The question that I have, and I haven't really heard asked before, is, you know, dealing not just with Hillary Clinton, but with Lois Lerner and Eric Holder and all these different ones who have been in Congress in hearings, James Comey, obviously. You see all these hearings, you see all these subpoenas, and you see these representatives in Washington that are asking for information and letters. And but you see, it seems like nothing's being done. I mean,
go ahead. No, go ahead, David. Finish up.
It seems like, you know, a lot of this corruption, a lot of the laws that are being broken are just blatantly right in front of the American people.
Well, they are. But, David, I do want to say this. I mean, I take a look at what we've accomplished on the IRS case, Andy, and that has been significant. I mean, you've got a completely different agency now in light of what we've been able to accomplish in federal court and in dealing with this congressionally in oversight. I mean, it's a whole different agency, and there's still problems, no question. But we've had a major victory. I think we're going to have a couple of more real soon here. But it just takes time, David. These are not quick.
Andy. No, they're not. And David, I mean, don't be disheartened by what you see happening, because government works with baby steps. Nothing really takes place in great strides. And we have been able, as Jay has said, to reshape the Internal Revenue Service from an agency that completely targeted Tea Party groups, conservative groups, groups who are right-leaning in their views. That is no longer going to be the case. We hope to end some litigation here. The seminal case that we won on the D.C. Circuit and that we're going to win, I think we're going to have a successful outcome in the district court in that case. It takes time, and it takes small steps.
Yep.
All right, let's go to Charlie in Nicaragua, who's calling on line two. You're on the air.
All right, Charlie, you're on the air.
Hi, Jay. How are you doing?
Great.
I'd like your opinion, please, and those of the panel there with you. It's well within the scope of President Trump to issue an order to the DOJ and to the FBI to fully 100% comply with all the FOIA requests that are out there. My question is, why hasn't he done it?
Well, okay, you raise the question. Look, when you've got FOIA litigation, there are policies and procedures, and the Department of Justice is trying to follow their policies and procedures. When we think they're wrong, it requires court action. I will tell you this. Over the last several months, as you know, we have gotten more information than we got previously. That's just, Jordan, you're kind of heading this up now.
Yeah, but
that's fact. We are.
Yeah, we do have more information. It's a bit of an adversarial process, though. You are dealing with a government that tries to protect itself, and also the precedents they set. I mean, I think that you have to be careful. We make the request. There is information that the government can withhold rightfully, that they have the right to withhold. And I don't think you want a government that just says, okay, we'll give you everything without any redaction all the time. That's not right either.
No.
Because of national security concerns and issues like that.
All right, well, that does it for the broadcast today on Andy's birthday. So we've said that enough, but he's feeling younger by the moment.
Sorry to Pat, we didn't get you today.
Yeah, we'll get Pat next time. Sorry about that, Pat. All right, Logan, let everybody know how they can stay engaged with us during the day. A lot of developing news here, and there's a lot of ways for you to stay engaged with us.
Yeah, easiest place, ACLJ.org, where you can find everything. But directly, you can find us on social media. Follow all of us at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at Logan Sekulow, at ACLJ. Subscribe to the Jay Sekulow Live podcast on iTunes or however you get your podcasts. Download the ACLJ app, which is available in the App Store for your iPhone, your iPad, Apple TV, or also Roku Channel Store. The Apple device one's easiest way to sign the petitions I've found. So you download those. If you have an iPhone or iPad, you can do it in like seconds. It's great.
Wow, that is great.
So you can do that. You can also find us, obviously, each and every day on Facebook, facebook.com/jsacula.
We also encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.